Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 134 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Atalanta-Inter at the Gewiss that's finished 2-0 to the visitors. Goals from Carlos Augusto in the 54th, Lautaro Martinez in the 87th, red cards on both sides for Ederson in the 81st and Bastoni in the 95th. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianmarco Paterno. Gianni, plus 3 at the top of Serie A. We spoke about, hey, is this going to be a season decider? Inter come out on top on a day that saw Napoli drop points to Venezia. Juve lose 3-0 to Fiorentina, which Inter has done, but that's a 7-0 aggregate for Juve in their last two matches. A very, very exciting day for Interisti. And like Simone Inzaghi said in the post game, a lot of people have been saying Inter's not going to win anything. Does this victory make you feel like there's no way we're coming out of this thing without bringing home some sort of trophy?
Definitely getting silverware. I don't know which trophy it's going to be, but we're getting a damn trophy. And I think the sooner people get on board, get in line, and accept their fates, the sooner we could just move on with this. Napoli are not serious contenders to Scudetto. Let's get that out of the way right now. You can't beat Venezia, who is all but assured relegation. We had a goal. They have a goalkeeper who many who listen to this podcast have cast aside. Many who listen to this podcast and have come on this podcast have criticized and castrated me for my support of this Romanian wonder kid, even though he's probably closer to 30 than he is 20 these days. But finally coming good, Andre Radu, finally showing what I saw at the under 21 Euros when he carried Romania to a quarterfinal berth by himself. And we may win a Scudetto now because of him, not lose one because of him.
Venezia has had their say, surprisingly, in this title race, drawing Atalanta as well at home. So Andre Radu, 3 straight player of the match performances.
3 straight.
Is he forgiven? Or is it just a pat on the back? Thank you. Just a simple thank you. Or is it a full-blown forgiveness for you?
Listen, and I know other people are not going to feel the same way, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to feel how they want to feel. I do forgive him, though. Like, I do. Like, I mean, you look back at that season, and he's not the only reason we didn't win the Scudetto. I brought it up to Nima. We drew Genoa, a team that we should never have drawn to that season. Di Marco missed a penalty. Lautaro missed a big penalty. You win any of those games, and we are the Scudetto winners. But no, we're going to zero in on a terrible goalkeeping blunder. I'm not going to like sit here and pretend like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was disgusting. And especially when that's supposed to be the biggest strength of his game is his ball playing ability. But to pin the season on just one guy, we've forgiven Di Marco for missing that penalty. We've forgiven Lautaro for missing countless penalties. Why can't we let a goalkeeper who's not even at the club anymore off the hook for the one mistake he did make?
If this weekend ends up being the decisive weekend when all things are said and done, I think some people are going to get back on the Andre Radu train. Quick question. Would Napoli be title contenders for you if the pitch was a little bit more well-watered? Conte was pretty pissed at how dry the...
The guy will find anything to blame except himself. He's never at fault. It's players. It's the pitch. It's the sun. setting too soon. It's, you know, his nonna didn't make him his favorite biscotti. His, you know,
that's devastating in truth.
I mean, it is pretty bad, but you know, his favorite restaurant ran out of, you know, his favorite meal, whatever it may have been, whether it's, I don't know. I can't even think of something right now because he's just got an excuse for everything, the guy. So yeah, let's go ahead. They'd be title contenders because of the pitch, because Conte says that would have changed everything for him. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the fact that their strikers couldn't finish. Raspadori hit the post. Radu had 7, maybe 8 saves. No. It's the pitch was too dry in Venezia. A place that's going to be underwater in probably 10 to 12 years, and you're going to tell me there's not enough water getting to the grass there? Shut up, Antonio.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing, and I can't help but feel if Inzaghi had said the same thing, that's all the Italian media would have spoken about for the rest of the year, but I digress. It's time to discuss what occurred today. Johnny, you and I were on with Nick Costa not too long ago, and a question was posed. If Inter does end up getting the title, despite the record in big games, can you still say that they deserve it? And after a game like this, which is a big game for sure, despite what our record is against Atalanta, despite the fact that Inzaghi absolutely has Gasperini's number, this is a huge clash and Inter comes out on top. The thing for me that I think back and I say it's absolutely deserved, look at what Inter has had to deal with as opposed to the other teams. Napoli's been playing one competition for months. Atalanta has been playing one competition for, you know, several weeks now. Juventus, out. All the guys that are supposed to be challenging, like, they have no excuse. They're playing once a week, and Inter's got game after game after game to keep their mouths closed, and they keep going on and doing their thing and winning. If Inter pulls this out, for me, it's absolutely deserved. I don't care what's happened the entire season in the big games before. They've shown a character over these last several weeks that 100%, if they're able to make it happen, they're deserved Scudetto winners. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, look, yes, we have struggled against the Juves, the Milans this season, which none of us like. But if you ask yourself this question, if you lost 4 games this year, and 2 were to Juve, 2 were to Milan, but you come out Scudetto champions, and let's just say Coppa Italia champions, let's not say Champions League, let's say you win a double, are you happy?
I'm ecstatic.
I'm ecstatic. Am I going to remember the losses to Juve and Milan when I see the boys running around with the Scudetto title? I'm not going to remember that. I'm not going to be like, damn, this is less sweet because we didn't beat Milan this year. Like, if anything, it makes it feel a little bit sweeter because in spite of that, and they could carry those wins and be like, oh, well, we beat you. Who's got the trophy, buddy?
Right.
I guarantee you ask a Milan fan, a Juventino, you ask somebody who supports Napoli, Atalanta, if they said, hey, we lose every game to our rivals, but we come out as the title winners, are you taking that? Every single one of them is saying yes. Without question.
It's the season is structured in a way where it's over 38 games that's going to show you who these teams really are. It's not, you know, these one-off games. Like, this table accurately reflects what the state of these Italian clubs are. As of today, Inter is on top. It's not just that they're the best team in Italy as of today. This has been the best organization in Italian football for years now. For years. Without having all of the resources. Do you disagree with that? The best Italian club.
I honestly think because of their profitability and their ability to recruit, scout, resell, I would probably give the edge to Atalanta in
but they haven't won. What have they won?
You just said best run team. You said best run team.
Best organization, but part of being the best organization is that you won something of importance. And I'm not putting a Europa League over, you know.
You're not taking a Europa League over Scudetto?
No.
You're not taking a Europa League over Coppa Italia?
Actually, I'm taking it over a Coppa Italia.
That's everything. Like,
hands up.
I don't know. Like,
it's also Johnny. It's also the second star.
But they wouldn't even have a first star at Atalanta. I don't think that's a fair comparison. Like, yes, in terms of what's valued more to their fans, a second star is valued more to us than a Europa League would be ever. They don't even have a first star at Atalanta. So I bet you if you offered them the same, like, let's say a first star or a Europa League, they're going to take a first star themselves. But I think that they're such a well-run club. I do. I wish, like, look at us. Like, we don't scout well a lot of times, and then we don't sell anyone. We loan. They, 80 million for Rasmus Højlund. That guy can't even score 10 goals, and they got 80 million for him. 60 million for Coop Miners. Can you imagine if we got some, like, I don't know, Man United to spend 60 million on Davide Fratesi?
You sound really Jerry Cardinale right now. Give me a Scudetto with
how no money spent. Does that sound like Jerry Cardinale?
You're being a balance sheet babe right now.
I'm not being I want money. You understand? Like, I just want money for my team. I want my boys to be able to. You know how badly I want Nico Paz? If you told me today, Gianmarco, we're gonna take 2 years off your life, but you get Nico Paz, where do I sign? For Nico Paz, buddy.
Listen, we can still have two straight Scudetto and bring him in. That's well run to me.
With what money? Where's it coming from, Chief?
Apparently they have the money. That's what I hear.
Yeah, and apparently I have a date on the books with Ana de Armas coming up next week. I'll let you know how that goes, guys.
Congratulations. That's big. All right, let's talk about this game. I don't think you can really get into the context of what we saw today without starting with, I'm not going to say that decisions went our way. Correct decisions being made, that's not decisions going our way. The totality of what we saw today, I don't care if Atalanta was given a red card, you know, I don't care about anything about that. Davide Massa was absolutely horrendous. And I don't see any way we can start to even discuss this game without getting into one of the most inconsistent refereeing performances I've ever seen. Period. What did you make of Davide Massa, who, as soon as he was announced, I tweeted the Michael Scott meme, we're screwed.
I mean, it kind of went according to plan, or as I guess as well as I would have expected. I don't understand how he is still a Serie A official. He already has been relegated to Serie B in the past. So it's like, how many chances does someone get? And
at big games.
And normally I would have been like, oh man, I wish it was Doveri. Well, last time he did one of our games, he was horrendous in that game. So I don't even know if there are any good Serie A refs anymore. Kiefi's awful. I can't even remember. You know, Maresca, awful. Like, there's not a good ref in Serie A.
We're a far cry from Colina.
We'll never get anything close to that again. That guy got every big game. He got every call right. He got the respect of every player. There's a reason he was on the cover of a freaking video game. And it wasn't because of anything other than he was like the most respected person probably in world football at that time. Wild. But Massa was horrendous.
Worst call for you. Bastoni seeing a second yellow which it is important to note, he got a red card, but he is still diffidato once he comes back from that one game suspension after the international break. So if he gets another yellow, we're looking at potentially multiple suspensions for awesome. Bastoni in a short period of time. That sending off, or the contact in the area between Lautaro and Jim City that led to Inter's second getting chalked off.
I mean, for me, I'm going to go with the second yellow for Bastoni. I don't think in any world is that a second yellow. He gets tangled up as he's going down and makes, you know, some contact with him there.
Did Maldini foul him? Because that's what I'm seeing a lot on Twitter, that they felt like Bastoni was the one that got fouled.
I don't know if I would say that's who got... I can see it. I don't know if I would say that that's what it was. Like, I think Alessandro made contact initially, and then as they're going down is where like the real problem happened. But to me, it's just like a foul, and you just go on. You don't give a second yellow for that ever, and no matter what, I don't understand it. But you know, I don't know what Mas is watching. I'm actually looking at it right now, and I'm like, I don't understand what he saw.
For me, it's the taking away Lautaro's goal, because how can Lautaro see his strike partner Thuram get absolutely trucked in that first half? I forget exactly who it was. I think it might have been Isakian. Absolutely trucked right in the middle of the chest, and then go for contact and have that be called against him. He just, you know, I just saw you let one of my guys get trucked and you didn't call it. He barely makes contact with Jim City. He doesn't go directly for the ball. That's totally understood. But again, this is what we talked about last week of like, if the player isn't going to engage in the duel, then you're not getting fouled. You decided to take a knee on it. That's not our player's fault. We're supposed to be having a duel here. That's what we're engaging in physical contact. That's part of the sport. It was his shoulder. He doesn't throw out his arm or his elbow into Jim City's chest. Jim City went down like a you know, pile of bricks for no reason. That contact did not require that reaction. It just didn't. Jim City is one of the tough guys in Serie A. And that directly chalked off a goal. If you were consistent with how you were calling the game, then I would understand. But I saw too many instances of Atalanta getting away with mugging Inter players for me to accept that moment. Nope. Chalk the goal off.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's a great shot with that. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. When I saw it in real time, I'll be honest, I was a little distracted, so I didn't see exactly why it was chopped off. When I saw the replay, I agreed with you, but like, I don't know. To me, like, the importance of Bastoni was more of a loss than taking that goal away. I mean, yes, it could have cost us in the end, absolutely. Like, imagine if Atalanta equalized and we didn't go on to get a second. Like, that definitely could have changed the whole complexity of the game, but losing a player of Bastoni's quality, especially when we've seen how important he is to just how we play and how we're able to keep clean sheets, how when he usually comes off is when we concede, that's something that I feel like is a bigger loss in the short run, or I guess in the long run as well.
Is there any controversy with the Ederson red card?
Anyone who thinks that there is a Juventino. Like, honestly. It's been called that way always. And if you go and clap, we've seen it happen with us when players have gone and clapped sarcastically in any referee's face after receiving a yellow, that they end up getting a second right after.
Didn't that happen to Schneider?
It did happen to Schneider. If I'm not mistaken, it also happened to, I want to say, I could be wrong, and I don't want to be, I'm not going to say, I might be totally off base, but I could have thought Mandel happened as well, but I might be making that up. But still, like, it's a red card, people. It is. Every time.
The referee actually can't not give a card there. Yeah. Like, you can't, in every instance, you clap in a ref's face. And also, Ederson, like, what are you complaining about? You were the one that lost your cool. If you think you were fouled by Thuram, that's one thing. But, like, it went out for a corner. Like get in the box and pick up your man. Like, what are you doing throwing a fit over marginally a foul? I mean, it's not – I didn't think it was a foul. Luca Marelli, the referee expert on DAZN, didn't think it was a foul by Thuram. You lost your cool. And that's what caused the red card. You can't say anything to it. And Gasperini in the post game, this guy is in a world class loser. I mean, a world class loser. Oh, the game should not have been turned on its head by an incident like that. The referee changed the game. He didn't change the fucking game. Ederson changed the game. A decision that one of your players made to lose his cool in the moment changed the game. You were the beneficiary of a call. Like, if you want to talk about changing the game, I think getting a second goal chalked off for the contact that Lautaro had with Jim Cinti was more game changing than that. That's actually a call that could change a game. There's no debate over whether Ederson should have gotten a red card. But Gasperini, 8 straight losses to Inter. You salty mother effer. Yeah. You haven't won since 2018 against Inter. Since 2018. Just say we're the better team and move on. We don't care. Whatever you want to say to DAZN in the microphones after, you look like a world-class loser.
Yeah, that he definitely is. I don't think, like, I don't know about you. I know for myself, you know, my ex sucked, but I'm over it, right? Gasperini's still hanging on to that shit. He is still salty as a mother by being cut by Inter after whatever it was, 4 or 5 games.
So embarrassing.
Still just holds this grudge, complains about everything, loses to us constantly, and still gets dragged and wants to bring it back to whatever it is. And he just let it go, man. I think the sooner he lets go of that hate for us, that's when he'll finally be able to beat us and get over the hump. But he makes it easy each time because he doesn't change his tactics. Inzaghi knows exactly what's coming, and he has the guys well prepared for it. Like, we 6-0 on aggregate in the 2 games to them this season. 6-0. No threat, nothing. Vetegui, for all good that he has done, nothing in this series, or in these matchups, I should say. Yeah, no threats. Lookman wasn't threatening. Like, we were outclassing them all over the pitch. Plain and simple.
No team in Serie A has created more chances than Atalanta this year. What was their best chance of the game today?
That one in the first half that Sommer stretched out and hit over the bar.
A Pasalic header.
Yeah.
They have the capocannoniere on the field. Ademola Lookman, who's going to get Serie A MVP votes. Two of the better wing back duos in Serie A. They created nothing. Nothing. Acerbi is going to be looking for Retegi in his pockets tonight when he clears him out. This team, Sommer was he had one thing to do all game. That is a seriously impressive performance by the guys tonight. Again, all the minutes on the legs, no wing backs, Dumfries going down, which we got to talk about, and they were able to stop Atalanta from basically creating anything at home. in front of their fans who were in full voice tonight. Is this the most impressive performance of the season for you?
That's tough now. I was going to say maybe the most impressive win, but I don't even think it was this was our most impressive win. Yeah, it's tough.
I actually can't off the top of my head think of...
I feel like the first Atalanta game was better. I love that we played the Man City game. I know we didn't come away with a win, but I thought that game was gorgeous. And it was so much fun to watch when we play like that. The only thing missing, of course, was the finishing, which I said earlier even in this game that I was a little worried about, you know. And then the Arsenal game, even though it was just a pen, I thought that was a good performance. I think that was a really strong performance defensively. If you look at the way that we were able to hold on to that lead and just frustrate Arsenal and kind of really were well prepared for their plan, which was to really just spam crosses in, try to hit us on, whether it be a set piece or just, you know, from the wings. I think that we really played well against them, and I think that was a great win. So, yeah, I don't know if this was the best performance of the season, and maybe it could be up there, but I think other wins that we've had and other instances this season have been better.
I think that you can make a good argument that this is the most impressive one. I'm just looking back at the calendar. Like, we've had fun ones. Like, Verona and Lazio were very fun, enjoyable to watch. The 2-0 against Atalanta in the Supercoppa was a great performance, but I don't think as tactically, you know, perfect, given that Atalanta wasn't going with their starters. The 4-0 Atalanta at home, man. 4-0, 2-0, and 2-0 against Gasperini this year. Oh, this was a top performance from the guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the actual player performances that we saw today. Who's your player of the match? Let's start there. Who's your top dog today?
My top dog today. I'm gonna have to go with. Yeah, it's gonna be Lautaro for me on this game.
Wow.
To go with Lauti. I do think that outside of the goal, he had, you know, a tremendous performance. I think that he was really good off the ball, really good at connecting with Thuram. That pass that he said he should have had an assist that Thuram, you know, hit off the post. I mean, I thought that he was just all over the pitch. And I feel like this was the sharpest that he's looked.
Two assists. The Thuram and Fratesi at the end of the game.
Oh,
he also later off.
Yeah. Ball. Yeah. So. Yep, I forgot about that one. But, very disappointing. No, I'm sorry, that he didn't get the assist is what I mean. But overall, he was just phenomenal. And I feel like this was one of his best games of the season. And I'm happy to see, you know, when he is able to perform like that, just the impact that he can have on the squad.
Workhorse performance, love. This is up there with like his best captain performances.
Okay.
All the running that he did, lifting this team to when he scored the 2-0 to put this game basically to bed. This was a primetime Lautaro performance. I'm going to give it to Francesco Acerbi, ace back there.
Ooh.
He was everywhere in the box for us tonight.
That's another
completely
good one.
Neutralized Retegi, who's been on a heater, and we know what he's capable of doing. He was basically perfect. I don't know that he put a foot wrong tonight. And it's huge also because De Vrij was not available.
Yep.
So he had to put in a full 90, and look at this, 34 to 37 passing, 92 pass accuracy. Successful dribbles, one.
92 pass accuracy.
Yeah, 5 headed clearances, 12 clearances overall, 3 blocks. I mean, he was just everywhere. He was just absolutely everywhere. And it was a top performance from him. We don't we don't win this game without him. Let's talk about Dumfries a little bit.
Let's do it.
What happens to the season if Dumfries is down for an extended period of time?
You know, a year ago I would have said we're fine. If he's out for an extended period of time right now, that's devastating for us, really. Like, I mean, it's good that Carlos Augusto is back and he was actually able to have an impact offensively. But Dumfries has been, I mean, our best wing back this season, which is crazy to say. You know, I never thought that those words would ever come out of my mouth, but
he's a key player.
He is a very important player to us. His leadership, forget about like just his play, like the intangibles that he brings and the way he's able to inspire the team. That's, again, words I never thought I would be speaking, but it would be a big blow for us if we're missing him. And I hope that it's, you know, not a long time.
He did not want to get subbed off.
He did
the
not.
Animal that he is. He wanted his hamstring to get wrapped tight.
I mean, Barella. Sorry, that's not a shot on Barella. I was really going to say Correa. I would have cried, gotten off his pitch, and then yelled at Inzaghi for not taking him off sooner.
Yep.
So, yeah, hats off to him for just having that warrior mentality. You can't coach that. So,
yeah, the grinta out of Dumfries is it's super, super important. He's called up to Holland. Inzaghi in the post-match said that Dumfries felt good about it. There's no reason for him to be playing with Holland if he's got any sort of knock here. So I hope they're smart about it and they don't overuse him, because he's absolutely key for us. The other wing back today, Carlos Augusto, on the score sheet, opens up the scoring after a long delay, 11-minute delay in the game because of a medical emergency in the stands, which has happened to Inter multiple times this year. Credit to the guys for staying locked in and immediately scoring off the corner there. Carlos Augusto was by himself. We know what a beast this guy is in the air. And just like the engine on him is crucial. 90 minutes today at left wing back. He just came back into the side. This was a huge performance from Carlos in a way that, like, let's say DiMarco isn't ready to go for Bayern Munich or so, after the international break. What's your confidence level with Carlos being the starter out at left wing back?
No, I mean, listen, it feels very good to have him there. We've said many times on this podcast that he feels more solid defensively. And if he's able to provide stuff going forward, that's just a huge bonus for us. You see the growth in his game, his willingness to take a man on. Not saying he does it often, but he does have that when necessary kind of thing. He's able to get it on the end of crosses and actually is very strong in the air, which I think is an underrated part of his game. I feel totally confident with him there. I don't think that it's like as big as loss. You know, maybe it would have been a bigger one, let's say, if Robin Gosens was there. You know, like, he's also a guy who has injury history, so that would have been a concern for sure. But I feel comfortable with Carlos, and the guy continues to impress. He was a guy, I don't know about you, but I know for myself, I wasn't too crazy about the signing when it happened. But I'm very happy that he's a part of this. He's almost like, in some ways, like another Matheo Darmian, really, back there. He's able to be flexible in multiple positions and offer different things. So it's a good problem to have for sure.
That flexibility is a huge part of his game. The willingness to be okay with slotting in behind Bastoni and letting Bastoni run up the pitch is huge. He's not your typical like hug the touchline wing back. He'll make space and drop back so that the likes of Bastoni can get forward and do his thing. So he is a player that I think Interisti are really, really coming to appreciate. You make the Darmian comp. I think that's perfect. It'd be great if he could also play, you know, out right wing back, right center back. But for what he's giving the team, huge, huge fan of Augusto. I think it's 12 million, 13 million, whatever it was, well spent to have a player that you can seamlessly slot in for multiple seasons and get the job done. Level of disappointment in Thuram squandering that first half chance off the post. Been hitting the post a lot recently.
Yeah, not good for sure. My level of disappointment, maybe at a 6. You know, I'm not going to go crazy only because it didn't cost us in the end. I think if it did play a factor in the outcome of this game, then you have a little bit more of a gripe with him. But you hope that he irons that out because, you know, against Milan in the Coppa Italia, I think for confidence and I think for our momentum, it's going to be important what happens in that game. Especially, well, if not even just that game, that tie. So if we can actually make it to the Coppa Italia final, that'd be huge. But I also think that he's got a key role to play for us, whether it's winning the Scudetto, winning the Coppa Italia, potentially winning a Champions League. He has to be firing. And although he did score a wonder goal for us against Feyenoord, that you can't just like be satisfied with that. I think you need to continue to be grinding and fighting. And we know he has it in his locker. It's just when will he have access to it when we need it? That's going to be the thing. But I'm hopeful that he will find his goal scoring form.
He could have had 4 or 5 more than what he currently has in the last couple of games. So. We, like you said, we need him. I think everyone's talking about how much we need him. Vieri said that he's going to be a huge piece of the puzzle against Bayern Munich, and I completely agree. He can give them fits, and he's really the only one with that speed to get in behind the defenders. So, like he did in the 1-2 with Lautaro in the first half, but he's got to put that away. And he could have put it a little bit closer on the inside of the post. I know Karnaseki is a great keeper and he probably was, you know, really trying to angle it. But if you look at the way Karnaseki went down, he had more room to work with than he thought he did. So we need him firing soon. Towards the end of the game, Barella gets the ball. I think there's maybe 3 or 4 minutes left on the game clock. He gets the ball. He's immediately harassed by like 3 Atalanta players, has no options, rides challenges, and eventually wins the foul. I thought it was the perfect encapsulation of what we've seen from Barella this year, which is not, you know, he's had performances with the banger type goals. He's had, you know, great assists and so forth, like for Thuram in the first leg of the Feyenoord game. But also this season, he's shown a lot more of the dirty work in the midfield, which is exactly what, you know, eating some time off the clock and not letting yourself lose the ball in the middle of the pitch and let Atalanta hit you on the break. He's, despite throwing his arms up in the air when he doesn't get the pass from Thuram or Çalhanoğlu, actually, in the game, he still has those moments. He's also showing a maturity that is super important for this team. 90 minutes or 101 if you count all the extra time minutes for Barella today. One of the most overworked players in world football in the last several years. What did you make of Nicolò out there?
Yeah, you know, Nicolò is my favorite player for good reason. He gives it all for these colors, and I think that's what you want in a player who can wear the armband. Some may say he's undeserving at times because of his attitude and stuff and his frustration with teammates in certain aspects. But I think that's something I want to see in a leader personally. Like, I want them to see frustration and show it. And I think that will, in my opinion, you know, speak to his teammates and kind of show them, okay, I got to elevate my game, or I can't be, you know, misplaying passes or not picking up the teammate in the right situation, whatever the case may be. I think that it's a good quality, and I love him to death because of it. Another great performance, like you said. Sorry, no. But it's not surprising ever for me. Like I expect it every time, and when it doesn't happen, am I disappointed? Absolutely. But I also know, like you said, he is the most overworked player in world football. Like, I don't think anyone, if you really
boiled it down, I don't think anyone has played more minutes than Nicolò Barella has.
Also, I forgot to say he did get the assist for Lautaro. Played him, just at the right time so that Lauti would stay onside. So obvious quality from him. Another of his midfield compatriots, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, gets on the assist sheet with the delivery from the corner. This was a good performance from him today. Definitely something to build on. I think we're still waiting for that world-class, like, oh, this is the old Hakan performance. How close to that do you think tonight was?
I'd say if we're rating it like numerically, it was probably an 8 out of 10. Like we're almost there to him reaching, you know, peak Hakan. However, then when you think about like the cross that he had on the first goal and the assist that he provided, maybe you can make the case that he's fully back. Like I'd be willing to listen to that, and it's definitely good to see, given that we know what we get with Aslani, or what I should say is what we don't get with Aslani. So to have, you know, Hakan out there for us, it's going to be crucial to our success for this year, and it probably will determine which trophies, if any, we're able to get.
What did you think of the Jan Bisek right wing back experiment?
Ooh, it was okay. I mean, I don't know if I would want to do it again. But
missed the glorious chance.
Yes, but with a like break in case of emergency type thing, I you could definitely run it out there, and I would be more than okay with it.
I think I've said in the past that I thought he could do it, and then watching him do it today, it's like he's definitely a center back. He's not a wing back.
Pavard is much better in that situation, you know.
There's definitely a level of comfort that's, you know,
without Pavard.
Yeah. He did it for a long time. So that should be the break glass in case of emergency. I actually don't know what the reasoning is behind Bisek being the right wing back and Pavard staying at right center back, but
I think it's just Pavard, we know like he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's really all it comes down to.
But you got to do whatever you can for the team.
100%. You know? Like, I mean, I think he has done it. I think it's just his preference is to not have to. That's all.
Yeah. Speaking of Fratesi, it's hard to like really talk about him these days because I think everyone is so ready to move on.
Yes. No, there's nothing. We don't try to spin this in a positive way. Don't try to like make me feel sorry for the guy. He sucks. Okay.
Did he do anything good for you tonight?
No, he didn't. He had so many opportunities to lay off passes and provide assists or crosses, and he just can't do it. You're not a midfielder, dude. Either learn how to play forward or get out.
Plain and simple. He missed a couple passes, like just holding on to the ball, like not letting it get off his foot, that I don't even know if he could.
I got to see a teenager in Argentina with a $40 million release clause, 17 years old.
Mastantuono?
Yeah. I want Mastantuono if I can't get Nico Paz. That guy would offer us so much more. Sucic, there's rumors about Martin Bathurino, who I wanted way before. I mean, the writing's on the wall, dude. You're not a part of this team. You're not good enough. Vice Barella. Buddy, you can't even be like a vice president, let alone Vice Barella. Like, you are useless, dude. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for your sister, you would not be here. We thought we were getting Chiara for the women's team, I think. I think that's what all management was.
Oh, you thought it was Douglas Luiz and
Douglas Luiz. Yeah.
What's like, her name?
Alicia Lehman, whatever.
Alicia Lehman, yeah.
Deal. Where we're going to get two Fratesis for one. And in reality, we only want the other Fratesi. We didn't really want Davide. Like, how is it that out of all the supposed, like, you know, wonder kids from Sassuolo, we got the shittiest one?
He had to put away that 3-0, like, just to make it, just to not have a conversation be about other things. But
the guy is cheeks.
Aslani looked better than him today,
which isn't saying much.
In less time,
that's not saying much.
Just because I don't want to forget this question, since you brought up Paturina, rank Paz, Guler, Paturina in terms of your preference to bring
Paz,
to
Paz, Paturina, Guler. I have zero interest in Guler. And when I see people talking about Guler, shut up. Just shut up. And I'm sorry,
I have a hard time seeing him in Metsala in an Inzaghi system.
I don't see him doing it at all. I've seen hardly anything that's made me go, ooh, wow, ooh, I could, maybe we could work with, no. Nico Paz is a no-brainer. Like, it's just a no-brainer. Like, that guy is perfect for our system. Paturina is a guy who you would have to be a little patient with and work with, but just like we did with Kovacic and just like we did with Brozovic, we can do the same thing with Paturina and Sucic. I have no doubt about them. The quality is there. You've seen Paturina play with the Croatian national team, and he is a great midfielder. Good on the ball, shifty, kind of has a little bit of Zielinski in his game in the sense the way that he can drop his shoulder and kind of make space for himself. I would love Martin Paturina in this team.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I do think Paz is, should be preferred because...
Not a hesitation.
Yeah, him being like familiar with Serie A is huge. I'm just looking at some of these quotes. And
I don't care about the familiarity. I just think in terms of ability, it's Nico Paz. And let me tell you, I've been snatching up every Nico Paz rookie card I can get my hands on. I mean, it kind of stinks that he's in a Real Madrid jersey, but these things are going to be worth bank. And I can't wait. I need more Nico Paz in my life.
I do too. Looked pretty good for spurts against Milan too. It wasn't a perfect performance, but he definitely looked really good. Look at the contrast in these quotes from Atalanta post game. Gasperini, the game was ruined by an absurd decision. Deron, I don't think there is losing a lot of points. Ederson, not much you can do. Like that's actually what happened. You know, Deron is not. He's lying to himself.
He knows what happened. He knows why it happened. Like, I mean, it's like, bro, such a salty little rat, bro. He just drives me insane, this guy. This absolute cartoon character, freaking Gasperini.
Rank these current injuries for Inter in order of who you need to return as soon as possible. Di Marco, Zielinski, Darmian, Zalewski.
Zielinski, so I don't have to see as much of Mkhitaryan. Di Marco. So
or Fratesi.
Or Fratesi, yeah, that too. Oh, my God. Di Marco, so you have a little bit more breathing room there. Zalewski, because I think that he was awesome to see. It's no disrespect to Darmian. I just think that his pace and his willingness to attack his defenders is so refreshing on that side of the pitch. When we weren't getting it from Tejan Buchanan, which was a guy that I was high on too. Look, I've got a lot of money tied up in his cards because I had high expectations. So, Zalewski, much more important than Darmian.
I would have to agree. It's Zielinski is number one because you hate your options in midfield in Fratesi and Aslani. You don't like really hate Berenbrook, but given how big some of these games are that we have the rest of the year, like you need Zielinski more than any of these other guys. The next one is obviously Di Marco. He's a difference maker. Zalewski, because it's a different look at wingback. And then Darmian, you know, you can get, there's enough depth between having Pavard, Bisek, Dumfries, and Zalewski that it makes Darmian not as important as a Swiss Army knife. But hopefully that doesn't, that statement doesn't come back to bite me. Okay. Anything else about this game that you think we need to make sure we touch on?
No, not about this game.
It was a good game. Good, intense.
Good game. 3 points clear of Napoli, who are frauds. Feel bad for Nima. You know, his team is just...
I know. He's got floundering. I know.
What's he going to do? Is he going to... How's he going to recover from this one? So if you guys are listening, you know, just send your thoughts and prayers out to Nima and let him know you're thinking of him.
Yeah, agreed. All right, questions from the listeners. This one is hilarious. Samuel O'Rourke at Swaggins34. Everyone I've heard has been iffy about saying Atalanta are out of this. This is the trend from Opta's data, 2.38% as of today. They have the most difficult Serie A schedule. Will you two have the balls to say that they're out?
Yeah. Out of the Scudetto race?
Yes.
No, we're saying yes. But I will say I picked them to finish second, and I'm going to keep saying they're going to finish second.
You think Napoli, who has not won in their last seven, by the way. Oh, no, they have one win in their last seven. Sorry.
Yeah, I think they're going to.
You think they're going to finish third?
I think they're going to finish third. And Bologna's going to hang on to fourth.
Do you remember when the aftermath of Napoli Inter, the conversation was dominated by Napoli now has their swagger and their confidence back?
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that, and it just made me laugh. Like, I don't see any real talent in that team. I honestly don't. It's not a knock on them. It's not – well, it is a knock on them, but it's not – I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. I think that they're over – you know, overachieving. They're definitely punching above their weight class. And outside of Alessandro Buongiorno, I don't see anyone on that team that I'm like, man, I wish he was at Inter. Not a single person. Not McTominay, not Anguissa, not Loboka, not Billy Gilmore. Not, like, none of these guys that people like want to pretend are like something special on this Napoli team. Conte's just doing very well with a bunch of guys that he wanted. Congrats. Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
I do have to say, one of the more annoying parts of Napoli being a part of the Scudetto race is how much of an abdication of the desire to win the Scudetto from their fans. They, like, no one wants to say that they should be winning the title. None of the Napoli fans. All they want to do is do their voodoo jinxes on Inter and say, oh, we lost Kvara and Inter has a stronger side. Meanwhile, they won't play the amount of matches for the whole season that Inter has played up to today until May. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous notion to say that they weren't in it for the title, given everything that Inter has to deal with. We do have the stronger squad, 100%. But that the strength of the squad is diminished by the more minutes you put on their legs. And the fact that none of these Napoli fans wanted to come out and say, yeah, we should be going for the title. That all they wanted to do was deflect the pressure. Like, I'm sorry, but we don't need a fan base that's too nervous to say they want it to be the victors. That's weak shit. And every team outside of Inter has been doing it. For Inter, it's you guys have to win. You should win. Absolutely. We don't care about whatever obstacles you have to deal with, injuries, the amount of games, whatever it is. You guys are supposed to win it, and we don't want to take any responsibility or pressure or say that we should be in it and fight for important stuff. That's what you see from every other fan base outside of Inter. And God forbid Inter drops points. It's not only those other people shitting on Inter, but it's also a lot of Interistis as well. Calcio Twitter has been embarrassing this year. Sorry to go on a little rant, but
no, I love it. I love it.
You're in the title race. Tweet that you think that you guys should go and do something with it, especially when your opponents play three times a week and you play one. Weak, 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 weak shit. Mm. You don't deserve it.
They don't.
You don't deserve the title then. Sorry.
They never did.
Why should you celebrate when you never wanted to accept the pressure of saying, yeah, we're in it? Fuck that. That's weak. Anyway, can you explain on what planet? This is from Yes, That's Andre at FC Andre 1908. Can you explain on what planet and which sport Bastoni suffering a foul constitutes him receiving a yellow card? Spoke about this already. Yeah. I do feel like Massa is just incompetent, and that's what happened there.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense in any way, shape, or form. So it's a shame. It's a shame because, you know, like I said, he's so important to us to have a guy like him be gone for whatever incident it is. I don't know. Not a fan of it, but uh-oh.
Do you think this is going to work?
I don't know.
I'll be honest with the fans and with you, Johnny. I didn't look into it.
Oh, God.
I don't know. But we do have speak pipes for you, and it's either going to come through the computer or you guys are going to have to deal with what we've been dealing with, and I'll figure it out this week. I promise this time. Ready? Gino Panino up first. Could you hear that?
Nope.
You didn't?
No.
Fuck. God. Gosh darn it. I don't like to curse on the pod. Okay. We'll try it this way. Gino Panino, aka Johnny from Canada, until I see a face to the name for me, that'll always be.
Big win for Inter. Shows our character against a top team that is in form. Maybe now the media and the rest of Italy will give us some respect. Always crapping on Inter for the way we play, but today we single-handedly took down a very strong Atlanta team, dominated them. Huge goal by our captain, well-deserved, and Inter plays on. Forza Inter from Gino Panino, Vancouver, Canada.
Gino, you're the best, man.
That's not me, dude. Guy sounds nothing like
me. It doesn't sound like you at all.
Sounds nothing like me, Gino.
Sounds nothing like you. Can I ask you?
Apology.
I do. That's very clearly Gino Panino from Vancouver. Thank you for submitting that that speakpipe. Johnny, what do you think Gino thinks of Nima and his support for Inter? Do you think he's a fraud, or do you think Gino thinks he's a fraud, or what do you think?
I mean, I would hope Gino's on my side with this, you know? He thinks he's a bit of a fraud of an Interisti.
That's who, I'm assuming that's who he was referring to when he said Italian media. That's who we all think of, right, Nima?
I think that's exactly who we all think of.
All right, from Casey.
Yo, what's up? This is Casey from Philly. Been listening to y'all since day one. But my question, even though this is a very big positive day, not to make it negative, I have to ask what Johnny's visceral reaction was to Fratesi shooting the ball directly at Karnasecki at the end of the game with possibly the easiest chance of the game. I just got to hear that on that for the Inter, and everyone do all your rituals, pray to your gods, make sure Denzel Dumfries' hamstring is okay.
Great voicemail, Casey. Casey. Obviously, he knows you very well. He's obviously been listening since the beginning. Casey, was not lying.
An awesome question. So I was at my buddy's house watching the game. We're sitting there. I'm helping him build his computer, and I look up and I see the pass from Lauti. I'm like, go, go! And I lost it. I started going nuts, cursing him out. This effing piece of shit. Like, just, like, I couldn't believe that he bottled that. You, Casey, me, Alessandro, Julian, whoever you want to throw in that situation with that opportunity is probably picking a corner and burying it. Yep. No question. He had time. He had a little bit of space in the sense that, like, nobody was closing in immediately on him. Like, he would have been able to just easily really set himself up if he wanted to open himself and put it to the right. Casey, I'm assuming you hate him as much as I do, being as that you called in to ask that question. Yeah, I'm totally done with the frat party and all of his followers. Victor, You know who you are. Delete your PFP. It's time to upgrade because this guy is absolutely useless.
Yeah, we've gotten mature. We don't go to frat parties anymore. That's not part of the life that we live. The technique was wrong. Why do you roll it on the ground? Like, there's two things you do. You either dink it and you just kind of, you know, so it does a little pop up over Karnaseki's outstretched foot, or you blast it into the back of the net. You just blast it. Incorrect decision.
The guy is just cheeks. Okay.
I hear you. Johnny, reports that Inter has 50 to 70 million to spend in the transfer window without sales. How real do you think that actually is?
I'd say
since we haven't spent a dime,
50% chance of that being real. Yeah,
we could really use it. This team could really use something that's not a free transfer. Yeah, and 30-year-old
Nico Paz, right here, Nico fucking Paz.
Oh shit, nice.
By the way, I probably have to sell this card because the way his prices are going up, it's almost like stupid really for me to keep hanging on to them. Holy cow,
dude! If he does go back to Real Madrid,
I might
people
wait
are going to be all over that.
Yeah, I think I might wait till he's like either back.
The market, or, the demand will.
Or if he comes to Inter, I got myself my boy.
Can't go wrong. All right, Atalanta Inter. Inter wins 2-0. Away from home.
Can we talk about something else real quick?
Yeah.
I got this pulled up real quick. Look at this. Look at this beautiful thing. Can we talk about this?
I saw that.
If this is in our third kit next year, I'm going to be pissed off. This is beautiful.
Bringing the 90 back?
The total 90 kit is coming back for next season.
Wow.
So like a bunch of Nike teams, us, Chelsea, I think Barcelona. I don't even remember who else is still a Nike team, honestly. Atletico Madrid, and I forget who else are going to be getting these total 90 like kits from like the 06 season, I want to say.
And so like, this was the Jogo Bonito days when
was when like Luis Figo was killing it with Portugal.
Yeah. You know?
Like,
remember that commercial where they all play each other on the ship, like Dottie, all time?
Ronaldo, like, oh my god.
I love that. I love that commercial.
If this is the third kit, well, here's what I'm going to say. If Nico Paz comes, that's a Nico Paz kit right there, without question. If he doesn't, I'll get Pastoni. But my goodness, man, it'd be so sick to, like, that.
You
that
know what would be sick?
Action,
if they. If they wore that kit in Seattle when they go to play the Club World Cup, because that's giving Seahawks vibes. Yeah. There's an opportunity. There's a marketing opportunity.
Are you getting tickets for the LA game?
So here's the deal.
Don't tell me your wife is already stopping you from having fun.
No, it's not stopping me. It's not a bad situation. My wife, fiance, her best friend is getting married in Switzerland, and we are going to be there for the wedding.
When's the wedding?
June. I should know this off the top of my head. I'm not exactly sure what day.
I mean, I know that doesn't sound like the 17th.
Oh, is it the 17th?
The game in LA is, yeah.
I think I'm going to be in the States then.
Dude, if you're able to get out there.
Yeah. So hold on.
All right, let me stop.
We're shifting to LA over Seattle.
Yeah, and I'm only doing that because, you know, I mean, I don't want to keep name dropping this guy, but he's hooking me up big time. So,
Nocerino?
Nocerino's hooking me up, bro.
Antonio?
The greatest manager.
Who's that game against?
Monterrey.
Oh, that's actually Mexican league. One of the better. Yeah. Oh, so that'll be a fire atmosphere in
at
LA.
At the Rose Bowl. Insane vibes. Insane. I gotta get like a. I wish Inter made snapbacks, you know? I need like a sick 47 brand, like Inter Milan snapback.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna get a
probably not
brand deal with Mitchell and Ness anytime soon.
Yeah, that I definitely don't see coming. But yeah, if you could get out there, that'd be sick. I know Anthony Farrow is gonna be out there.
He's going. Nice.
He's going. He got it as a gift for his boys hooked him up at, like, for his bachelor party. How sick is that? Taking him to the club. That's friends that know you.
Yeah.
Like. My boys who know I love Inter, who don't really care about footy themselves, they would never do that for me. Bastards.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, so these games are much earlier in June than I initially thought.
See, bro, okay. You don't gotta worry about no Switzerland nonsense.
I'm gonna have to work on some things here. What else was I gonna tell you, Johnny? Oh, the other day. My fiance's friend slept over and I was sleeping on the couch and they were sleeping in the bed. She's kicked out. She is single.
All right, cool. So we're going to hook that up at the
talk wedding. After. Yeah. Let's talk after. But I woke up in the morning and I was just on YouTube and I found a full video of the whole Instagram live that Çalhanoğlu did after the title win. When it was like, DiMarco, Dumfries, Thuram.
Oh, that's sick.
Barella, Jang. And I watched the whole 17 minutes. And it was like, for any Interisti out there that needs to feel the vibes again for what this team is, watch that because it'll make you cry laughing.
So sick.
These guys are hilarious. Maybe I'll tweet that from the account tonight so you guys can relive those memories because this squad is special. You just see how much they love each other. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Nah, I love Johnny. The vibes on this team. But all right, let's.
Should we get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, I guess I'll go eat some dinner or something. That's kind
of
early.
All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.